So lovely to see you all anyway. And anyway, even more lovely to see Joe and Maureen, which are our guest speaker. I mean, they were members that were part of the church for a while ago, and they've been have their life of mission and ministry down in South Africa, America, and all sorts of places. So it's very hard to nail him down anyway, I think, half the time. But has a very, very full life. God is using him mightily, has used and is using him mightily around the world. But anyway, we're blessed that you're coming to join us today. Thank you very much. So we do understand he only had 2 hours kip last night because he was in a hotel where the World Cup was going on till 2 a.m. So with the heat and the date and the early light and that, yeah. So if he starts nodding off, then just somebody throw something at him or something. I think that's what you say. Anyway, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine anyway. Right, well, I'm going to, I mean, most of the service Joe will conduct himself anyway, which is great. Just the usual things, really. Have the normal service with, you know, prayers, songs, hymns, etc. There will be communion later, and so which will Joe will be leading. And afterwards, of course, you're all invited to stay for refreshments, hot or cold, I believe. Don't know what supply of biscuits we've got this morning, but I'm sure that we can make do. So anyway, without further ado, I'm just going to commit the service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you for this new day. We thank and praise you for this place. We thank and praise you for your presence with us now and always, particularly with us today. And again, Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for what you're going to, we know you're going to do in us and through us today, or particularly in us and through Joe. Father, it's just a privilege to be part of your family. And Lord, we do invite you in this morning. Lord, have your way among us. Lord, may we just be open to everything that you have to say to us through whatever medium it may be. And Father, again, we just pray that your anointing would be afresh upon Joe as he brings the word that you've laid upon his heart for us. And Lord, may we leave this place later knowing that we've met with the living God. So Father, just bless us now and as we commit this time to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to start. The first song is The Light of the World, You Stepped Out into Darkness. So if you'd like to stand, that's great. If you don't want to stand, that's fine, sit. But if you do stand, please mind anybody behind you. You're not blocking the view. So the words are on the screen. Thank you.
Light of the world, you stepped out into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for the sake became poor. So here I am, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Well, this is the time we were going to give the notices, but as far as I'm aware, there aren't any, I think. Thankfully, for once. There's normally a big, long list of things, as usual in church life, but it was a busy weekend last weekend. We had a fantastic time and a day like this at Janet and Mike's farm in the afternoon as well. I had a lovely picnicky thing, and I'd go for a walk in the countryside, and it was fantastic. So I'm sure all of us that went there had a fantastic, well, we all had a fantastic time, I think, anyway. So unless anybody else knows of anything I ought to say about them, don't. Stunned silence, that's fine. Okay, we're now going to have a worship time, really, with three songs, and I think we ought to take the offering during the last song, which will be The Goodness of God, if that's okay. Again, if you want to stand and to sing or sit down again, then please feel free to do whichever.
Together.
Goodness.
To give back to you as a token of our thanks and our gratitude, Lord, for everything you do in our lives and are doing in our lives. Father, again, may these gifts be used wisely, those for the work of the church and those for the supporting of the youngsters that we have. We thank you so much for last week when the gentleman from Compassion shared so passionately, Lord, about the kids specifically that we sponsor. Lord, it was really, really uplifting and encouraging too. So help us to continue to use what little you may give to us, or what little we can give away, Lord, for your kingdom and for your glory elsewhere. And again, Father, we do pray for our youngsters, and not sure if they're going out this morning. They are going out, so Lord, again, we pray your blessing on them and the teachers. May they learn something new about you. And Father, we just pray that there'll be as much of evidence of your Holy Spirit in that room up the top there as there is in this room down here. So Father, again, just thank you for everything you do for each and every one of us. And may we all, again, just be aware of your blessing on our lives each day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down and say the youngsters would like to lead us today. Right, so again, I'm going to invite Joe to come up now, and I'll just pray for him, if that's all right, brother, before... before you minister to us. Do you want to sound
the yeah, thank you.
Right, so Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for Joe. Thank you for all that you've done in his life, Lord. Such a man of God, and more into, of course, the gods. I've done this, forget they are a team. Lord, again, thank you for the impact that they've had on your world and the number of people that have come to faith through their work in the past, and we believe in the future too, Lord. Again, thank you for the way that you've impacted on his life, and thank you for his willingness to serve you without fear, literally, in times of danger, Lord, but he's still trusting you, and you pull him through, so I praise you for that. And Lord, may our hearts be open to what you have to say to us now in him and through him. Again, may you just anoint him afresh, and again, may the words from his mouth be your words, not his. And we pray this for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's good to be with you. Thank you for the privilege of being here and the opportunity to share what God's placed on my heart. And I do count it as a privilege. I think it's always, you always feel honoured when somebody lets you have their pulpit. Because, you know, you can say anything, can't you? You can say any old rubbish. And so we appreciate your trust that you place in us, and we want to thank you for that. Also, I just want to say that I am sorry, but I did not read the memo that you obviously sent out, because I'm not in shorts. I see everybody. Well, me and Brian, we didn't get the memo, did we, Brian? So I would have loved that memo. Anyway, great to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity to share. So what's on my heart, and what God's placed on my heart, I should say, is unity, oneness. And we're going to include communion in that. We're going to, you know, communion has many messages, doesn't it? There's a message of redemption there in communion. There's the message of sacrifice. So there's more than one message inside communion. But there is a message also of unity, and we'll have a brief look at that as well. So we'll attach communion to this message. So oneness, the unity of the body. I think there's a scripture, actually, of your brother. Have you got the scripture that we'd like to kick off with? It's in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read, if you don't mind, from the English Standard Translation. So it reads similar to the NIV that you've got there, but as you read up there on the NIV, just listen to what the English Standard says, because I think it really puts it in a nice way. And it's not a translation I use very often, but I think this is a really neat way of what God's trying to communicate to his people. And this is really the very, very heart of what God's trying to do. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a vision. You know, we don't need to bring a vision to God and say, this is our vision, God. This is what we want to do. He's already got a vision. We just need to participate in his vision. And in Ephesians, in the whole book of Ephesians, he's explaining what his vision is. God is revealing what he intended from the beginning and what he intends for the future. And so let's read what it says. But as I say, it's going to read a little bit differently to what you see there up on the wall. So verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Verse 8. Which he lavished upon us. I love that. God's rich, isn't he, eh? He's rich. He's just got this abundance, and he's just trying to give it away. And he just pours it out on his children, and there's still bucket loads left. And he gives that to us, and he looks behind him, and his storehouse is still full. And he lavishes this upon us. In all wisdom and insight, verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will. So his will, his plan, has been hidden in the past, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. Verse 10. This is the one that really we're emphasizing. As a plan for the fullness of time. So in the fullness of time, this is his plan. To unite all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth in him. I love that. Both things in heaven and in earth, he's going to unite everything in Christ. That's his plan. That's his purpose. If you want to know what our plan and purpose is, it's that. Because we don't have one that's different to his plan and purpose. That's his, we think, maybe his plan is he gets us all to go to heaven. Yeah, I understand that. He wants us all to, you know, make him our king, to make him king in our lives. He wants us to follow him. But that's almost like a means to an end, because his ultimate plan, that everything comes together and is united. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of my life has not reflected that plan. You know, whether we like it or not, sometimes we say divisive things, don't we? Things that divide people. Sometimes our actions divide people. Sometimes we do it, you know, by accident. Sometimes we got a vendetta, and we get a mean bone in our body, and we say something we shouldn't have said, and we divide the body. Sorry, I better not do that, had I?
So I look at my life and I think sometimes I have not been in unison with God's plan of unity and oneness. I've been on a different track. And maybe if you look at your life, maybe you think something I said last year or something I did last month, that wasn't bringing God's people into unity. It wasn't bringing God and man together. It wasn't part of his plan to bring all things together. And I wish, you know, we would like to go back in life, wouldn't we, and fix things so that it actually never happened. But, you know, those things happened. Very often I've been caught out doing my own thing. Or pretending that this is God's plan. And I'm going to go ahead and do this. Because God said I can do this. But really it's my own thing. All too often, I think I'm out of tune. You know, God's got this symphony going on. Because we just heard he's lavish, he's rich. There's so much about him. He has this symphony. He can play all the instruments. And he's the conductor. And he's written the music. I don't need to write any music. It's already been written by a genius. I just have to follow that. I just have to read that music. Bless my heart, I can't read music. But if I couldn't read music, I just have to follow that music and play my trumpet or violin or whatever my part was in that orchestra. And so often, I'm not even playing the same tune. And sometimes, I'm playing the same tune, but I'm out of tune. So a lot of my life has been like that, much to my shame. Because God intended that everything that we do is covered by his plan of oneness and bringing everything into unity. Everything outside of that, I'm not in tune with his symphony, with his orchestration. So, unite, God says in verse 10, unite all things in Christ, both in heaven and on earth. So my life must be submitted to that vision and flow out of that vision and not be an agent of division. So more and more, as a result of how I see God is very serious about this vision, very serious indeed. He was so serious, part of the plan was Jesus had to go to the cross. That's how very serious he is about this. And so, more and more I'm trying to think, every time I speak to someone on the phone, or any time I'm in some situation, I'm trying to think, are my words to this person, are they bringing them into unity with God? Is this brother or sister that I'm speaking to, is that bringing them into unity with the body of Christ? Or in some way, am I subtly bringing division? I think this is one of the reasons why God seems to hate strife and gossip so much. Because that is a real killer, isn't it? You know, our words really do hurt. And sometimes we mask them as something that sounds a compliment, but really it's a cutting action that's bringing division. I can also do it with my pride. I can think, you know, well, you know, I've been around the world, I've done this and done that. What have you done? What have you done? What's that? It's pride bringing division, isn't it? Why is my job and what God's called me to do any greater than yours? If we're both servants and we both obey God, we get the same reward, which is well done, good and faithful servant. It's got nothing to do with the job we do. It's got everything to do with, were we obedient to what he called us to do? So I can be divisive in that manner. You know, a lot of people, especially in Africa, they have that habit of calling me pastor. And to be honest, I don't even like that. You know, I understand we can give people respect and call them pastor. I understand that. I get it. But I really don't like it because now that separates me from you. There's a division there. yeah, maybe, you know, I've got some qualifications or something, either in college or in the field or whatever, to do what I do. You know, but I don't call you Engineer Bernie. You know? Yeah, yeah. I don't call you that. I don't call you Professor George. I don't do that. And those, even our titles can bring division. We are one. Yeah, we've got different jobs. Not everybody's a professor or an engineer or a teacher or a pastor. I get that. But even those simple things can bring division. We are one. And I rely on you to do your job, and you rely on me to do my job. And together, we're working with God's vision, which is to bring everything into one under Christ.
So, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to just briefly go through the outline. I've got to keep an eye on that clock. Chapter 2 of Ephesians talks about God and man coming together. It says things like this in chapter 2. We are alive together with Christ. Amen for that, yes? We sit together with Christ. Hallelujah. That we can sit together with Christ. We are not some afar off, you know. We're not at the back of the room. We're not in the general neighborhood of Jesus. We are sitting with Christ. We have been brought close. It says in Ephesians 2, we were once far off. Okay, I'm ahead of myself there. We were once far off, but now we have been brought near. It says, you were strangers, foreigners, but now we are fellow citizens, saints, and members of God's household. So we were all far off at once upon a time in our lives. Once upon a time, we did not know God. But now we do. And we know this is why Jesus came. So that he could pay and so he could redeem. So that we can now be one with God. God and man coming together. Christ in us and we in Christ. Isn't that incredible? That I carry Christ with me. You carry Christ with you. We all carry Christ around with us. We perhaps go to places we shouldn't go, and we carry him there anyway. When we go to Aldi's, he's there, he's with us. We go home, he's with us. But also, I'm in Christ. I don't know how God works that. But this is part of his vision for God and man to come together. It's about the oneness and the unity of everything, not just us, but the unity of everything. Chapter 2 and 3 talk about Jew and Gentile coming together. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be Jew and Gentile. It could be, you know, Asian and European. It could be French and British. Heavens above, we've got to get on with the French. You know, we've been fighting with them for 100 years. Well, but God says, we've got to come together. Well, God's going to have to pray for us on that one, aren't we? I learnt from my mother for many years that we fight the French. I don't know why we're fighting the Germans. We should be fighting the French. But God says there's now got to be no discrepancies there. It's Jew and Gentile come together. Greek and Roman. Greek and Jew. British and Jew. British and Greek. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, we have become one nation, a holy people, a royal priesthood. That's something actually that happened during the Passover. When the Jews took, you know, we've had, me and Maureen have had the privilege of taking Passover with Jews and seeing how they do it. And at the time of Jesus, when they took Passover, one of the things that came out when they took Passover, one of the things that was struck home to them was that this was the time when they became a nation. When they went into Egypt, they were not a nation. And then after that, they were slaves. But during the Passover meal, they became a nation. And God chose them. He said, you are my chosen people.
So today, we are God's chosen people, along with the Jews. We just love the Jews then to accept Jesus as Messiah. But we are now one nation. If you're a Christian and you're French, you're my brother. If you're a Christian and you're from wherever, China, you're my brother. We are one nation. We have a problem with the alarm, do we?
Yeah, somebody.
Thanks. So we are one nation. Try again, brother.
He's gone back out. So we are one nation.
We shouldn't see ourselves as different nations. We are one people. We are one family. What does, you know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but if you've been in a foreign country and you hear all this foreign language going around, and then you hear the language of someone from where you're from, you know, it does something to you, doesn't it? I don't know if you've ever had that situation. You know, maybe you don't even have to go outside of the country. Maybe you go to London and everybody there seems foreign. But you go into Tesco's in London and you hear a Cheshire accent. You feel, you're one of my people. I'm home. These are one of my people. And we've had that experience when we've gone around the world. You know, we've met people that, you're one of us, you're one of us. So, if someone is from France, anybody's a believer. If someone's from China, he's a believer. If someone is from some far-off country and he's a believer, we are one with that person. He's my brother. He's not a stranger. We have the same father, you might say. And we are a holy people. Both Jew and Gentile now are a holy people, a royal priesthood. Imagine us, we are all priests, we're called to be God's priests. That's stunning, isn't it? That God would choose me to be a priest. You know, if you've ever read the Old Testament and all the rigmarole those Levites used to go through, all the priests had to go through in order to enter into the temple. And I think, wow, if they just miss something out and they go into God's presence and they sort of drop dead, they're unclean. And the heavens above, now, Lord, you call me to be a priest? Dirty old me? Do you know the state of my heart, Lord? When you call me to be a priest? Yes, he's called all of us to be priests. So I am one with you because you're a priest. And I'm a priest, and I'm trying to help you be a better priest. And hopefully you're also helping me to be a better priest and encourage me to be a better priest. I'm trying to encourage you to be more holy. And heavens above, I need you to help me, encourage me to be more holy. And we can encourage each other.
Not in division, but in unity. Chapters 2 and 3 also talk about one body. We are the body of Christ. God is very, so, so serious about this. In fact, in John 17, Jesus basically has a prayer for the entire chapter of John 17. And his prayer is that we would be one, just like he and the Father are one. I think he repeats that three times, if memory serves me correctly, maybe four times. He repeats that three times, that we would be one just as him and the Father are one. Now, I think Jesus and the Father are quite tight, yes? I can't imagine them having an argument. I can't imagine them having a dispute as to who is right. Yes? You know, we have this agreement in our marriage that Maureen's always right. So, they do not have a disagreement. They're always in unison with each other. There's no bickering going on. There's nobody there trying to be top dog, trying to get one over the other, trying to win an argument. Trying to win the argument. So Jesus prays this prayer that we would be one just like they are one. And he says something quite incredible. He says, this is how the world will know that the Father sent me, Jesus. This is how the world will know that I was sent by the Father, is that when you are one, when you love each other.
So they're not going to know by our great evangelism efforts, though those are important and are effective. And they're not going to, the world's not going to know because of our giving or care for the poor, and that's very, very important. They're going to know because they see how much we love each other, how much we are one. Isn't that incredible? It's about our oneness. It's about our unity. It's about our being together with Christ. Because we can't do it without Jesus. Let's face it, yes? How can I even live with a woman without Jesus? How can my wife live with a man without Jesus? Yes? We've all, you know, wish we could have slapped our spouse at some point. Yes? We're not happy with you right now. So how much more in people that, you know, we're not married to, that we may not see regularly? We can only do it because Jesus is in us, and we're relying on Jesus' grace and Jesus' ability, his love that's inside of us. We're relying on that. But it's there. It's there for us to take. So chapters 2 and 3 reveal about the oneness of the body. One of the things myself and Maureen, we like to do is to read the one another scriptures. We did it regularly when we were in our previous house church. We haven't really incorporated it into the current one or encouraged them to do it. But we used to like reading all the one another scriptures, and there are many in the New Testament. And I encourage you to do it. If you need a list, we can give you a list. But this is some of the things that Jesus says. In John 13, verse 14, he says, love one another. It's quite simple. It's not complicated. Love one another. It's not easy to do, but it's not complicated. He says, be kindly affectionate and give preference to one another. This is how a body that's in unity, this is how it operates. Be kindly affectionate and give preference. I prefer you. I prefer your idea over my idea. I prefer to do what you want to do rather than what I would like to do. Let's take it to Jesus, but I like your idea. Let's go to Jesus with your idea first. There's a giving of a preference all the time. A yielding to one another. That's Romans 12:10, by the way. Romans 12:16 says, live in harmony with one another. It's going back a little bit to the symphony thing again, isn't it? You know, I don't even know what harmony and melody is, to be honest. If you ask me, I can't explain to you what it is. But my wife's very good at that sort of thing. She sings harmony. Do you sing harmony or not sing harmony? You sing harmony, don't you? So that's how much I know about it. Unfortunately, can actually spell the word. But so we're supposed to be singing in harmony. It's supposed to be a sweet sound. That's how much we are loving each other and being in unity with each other. Ephesians says, submit one to another. So we're yielding, giving way, giving preference to the other person. So we make a beautiful sound. And that's what the world finds attractive. That's when they'll say, there is a God. And Jesus was sent by the Father. He must have done. Because how can this lot be singing in such beautiful harmony if there wasn't a God? What else? One of the other scriptures is serve one another. Galatians 5:13. How can I serve you? How can you serve me? How can we serve each other? What can I do that will help you? What can you do that will help me? Discover ways as how we can serve one another. At my expense. Ephesians 4:2 says, with humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with one another. That's not easy, is it? You know, we can be a bit patient with Mrs. So-and-so, and we can be gentle, and then we go away and think, wow, Mrs. So-and-so, she's difficult. You know, and we can... No, God says, bear with one another. If you'd lived that man's life, or if you'd lived that lady's life, if I'd lived that man's life, would I have lived his life any better? No, I wouldn't.
stuff happened to him that didn't happen to me. And if I lived his life, I would probably make the same response. So let's bear with one another. None of us enter adulthood whole, do we? None of us. We had parents maybe that didn't do the right thing by us. We have school teachers that didn't. Things happen to us in life. It's just the way it is. So let us bear with each other. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and tender-hearted to one another." We said this in our house church fellowship one time. Let's spend 1 year being kind to each other. Let's just try it for 1 year. Let's give it a try and see what happens. For an entire year, let's be kind to one another. Of course, God intended that we'd be kind to each other all the time. But let's just try and do it. And let's every single word for that year, let it be a kind word. Someone says, so-and-so is not really behaving right. Then we'll speak a kind word. You know, he's going through a hard time right now. Let's pray for him. He's a precious brother. Let's go round and do something for him. Let's go and bless him. Does he deserve a blessing? No, but I don't deserve a blessing either. I deserve hell. But God's been kind to me. You know, that's what we sang, isn't it? The loving kindness, eh? The goodness of God. The kindness of God. And again, he wants us to be the same. So are my words and actions, are they one of building, encouraging, and loving, or are they divisive? In chapter 4, continuing the same theme of oneness and unity that God's revealing in Ephesians, he talks about the different ministries. You know, there's this apostolic ministry, you know, there's a teaching and a prophet ministry, and all these, and there's lots beyond that, we know that. Lots and lots of ministries. But they're all working together to bring unity and maturity to a church. So we've all got different gifts. And they all have the same value. They all have the same value. The person who preaches and the person who opens the door of the church and cleans the floor when everybody's gone home, they have the same value. As long as we are obedient to what Jesus has said. So all the gifts working together to bring unity. Chapter 5, a man and woman coming together. This has taught me a lot, it really has. You know, one of the best lessons that someone can ever receive is to get married. Because you have to use all the fruits of the Spirit, don't you? Yeah? It's not easy living with me. It really is not. And so Maureen is spending patience on me, spending the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. She doesn't spend patience on herself. She doesn't spend the fruits on herself. She spends them on me. I need to extend patience towards him right now. And then I might expend mercy on her. Maybe something happened and it wasn't quite right. I'm not saying anything. I just spend mercy on her. Or we spend kindness on each other. So, marriage has a great way of revealing your failings. It really does. And so it's a great analogy. God saying man and woman coming together and being one flesh. And he says, and this is a picture, he says, of the church. Because it's really talking about Jesus and the church coming together. He's the bridegroom in Revelation, it says, and we are the bride. I have no difficulty imagining myself as a man for obvious reasons. I have great difficulty imagining myself as a bride. But I am a bride. It can be confusing sometimes. But I am a bride. I am part of the bride of Christ. And I am betrothed to him. And so there's a coming together, just like marriage with Jesus. I don't think we have any business being his wife. Why would he choose us? I would say, you could take the most beautiful angel in heaven and marry that angel. And let's face it, you know, we can be a rebellious lot sometimes, can't we? We can be a bit gossipy. We can sometimes be a bit unfaithful. We all know, don't we? We've all flunked. But
he chooses us.
He says, "I want you. I want you." And this is wonderful. Thanks, Dave. Much appreciated, brother. So, chapter 5, the oneness of man and woman coming together, the unity of Jesus and the church coming together. Now, just an honorable mention here is part of God's vision is what our purpose is. Our purpose is to bear the image of Jesus. That's what we did in the Garden of Eden, and we know what happened there, bless our hearts. But God is making a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to restore us to that position. In fact, he already has. We bear Christ even at this very moment. We are to reflect his glory to creation. We are to be priests towards him and kings towards creation. We are sons and daughters. We are a wife. So this is our identity. This is our position. We are to reflect his glory to all creation. That's what he intended. And we are to bear the image of Christ. We are Christ bearers. Our oldest son is called Christopher. It literally means the one who bears Christ. Not carries him. It means he's reflecting Jesus. Reflecting Jesus to the world. I did it again. So, as we take communion, where do we see this oneness in communion? Well, of course, we have one loaf. God's trying to tell us something when he says, "I have one loaf." It's one loaf that we break, and it's one loaf that we shared out amongst us. Bless that car. Bless thy lamb.
So God has called us to be one. And he's explaining in communion how that can be part of God's plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in Luke 22, we see explanations of Holy Communion. In verse 15 of Luke, it says, Jesus says, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you." So Jesus said, "I've eagerly desired to take this Passover." It was really important to him. When Jesus says, "I'm eager about this thing," we should pay note. Now, in those days, when they took Passover, they had 4 cups. It's not in Scripture that they should do that, but the Jews decided to do it that way. They'd have 4 cups. And so Jesus went along with that. And the first cup is known as the first cup, is known of sanctification or separation. It's like Israel being separated from the Egyptians, a bringing out. It's called the cup of sanctification. The second cup was the cup of proclamation or deliverance. So the Jews were delivered from Egypt, delivered from slavery. The third cup, which Jesus took, is the cup of redemption, sometimes the cup of blessing. And that's when Israel was redeemed from the Egyptians. But it's also, of course, when mankind was redeemed. Jesus took that third cup. It's the third cup that we drink. But there's 4 cups. What happened to the fourth cup? And Jesus said that in Luke, he said, where did he say it? Bless him, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until this kingdom of God comes. Until this kingdom of God comes, he will not drink the fourth cup. This is actually marriage talk. What would happen with Jews is a man would propose to a woman, the woman would agree, and they would then drink from the cup. Eat from the same cup, and then the man said, "Right, I'm going to go build us a house, I'm going to get the farm up and running, I'm coming back for you, I'll marry you in a year's time, I'm coming back, and just to prove that I'm coming back, I will not drink wine in that entire time." And he would go away. And then he would come back to his beloved, he would marry her, and he would drink wine for the first time in that 1 year or that period of time. Jesus was using the same language.
He's using the same language. He drank from the third cup. He blessed the third cup. It's the third cup that we are taking today. The cup of redemption. We've been redeemed. He's bought us back. He's bought us from the slave market. We've been redeemed, ransomed and redeemed. But he's coming back. And he's going to drink the fourth cup with us. Because he's promised he's going to come back. So, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians says, I hear that there are division amongst you. This is Paul writing about communion. He's going to explain to them, you need to understand communion. You need to take it properly. And he begins with this, I hear that there are divisions amongst you. He was speaking about unities from the get-go. Jesus, this is important to Jesus. We take communion, you forgive each other. You ask God to forgive you. We look at our hearts and think, gee, I said that. And I was a little bit snarky with that, with my sister over there. I need to repent. I need to say sorry to her. We look at it in ourselves and say, this isn't right. I don't want to be divisive. We're in unity here. And if you read the end of Corinthians, it actually says, if we don't take communion in a right manner, it says, Paul says some of us, because we didn't do it right, have fallen asleep. Some are sick and some have fallen asleep. Fallen asleep means the dead. That's what it means. So this is serious stuff. God is very serious about unity, and communion is part of that message of being in unity with each other. In Luke, in 1 Corinthians still, verse 24, it says, take, eat, this is my body broken for you. So Jesus' body was broken for us. It was whipped and he was beaten. But also, we are the body, yes. We are also the body. And we are also broken. We also messed up. There's things that need healing in our lives, things that need fixing. Let's extend mercy to each other, forgiveness and love. Let's extend encouragement to each other so that we can be knit together. Is it in Ephesians? I can't wait. Where it talks about us being knit together. I can't remember, actually. Is it in Ephesians? That knit together is a medical term. We think of it as a fishing term, being knit together like a fishing net. And it kind of is that picture as well, don't get me wrong. But actually, it's a medical term. It's being, let's be healed. Let's speak healing to each other. Let's encourage each other. And therefore, let's be knotted together like a fishing net and not a broken fishing net. So we don't come whole. We do come broken. So we picture Jesus on the cross broken. But let's also look at our brother and sister and myself. And we're broken. And say, God, bring healing to us. And help me to be a channel and a vehicle of healing in somebody else's life. Verse 19 in 1 Corinthians says, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So it's a looking back. It's a time of looking back. But also remember, he's coming. And it's also a looking forward to when he comes back for us. And verse 25 of 1 Corinthians says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. Again, we got to remember what he did and what his vision is. We come together in oneness. Finally, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians says, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So there's going to be a reuniting. We all look forward to that day, for sure. But that vision is in process now, not just that time. It's in play right now for us to walk in unity. God and man coming together. Jew and Greek coming together. The body coming together. Man and wife coming together. Jesus is in his church. Us in unison and yielding, submitting to him. Coming together. This is God's vision. And I know we all want to go to heaven one day, but I've got news for you. That's just a stopping off stage. That's not where we finish up. God said he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to be back here on a new earth, and we're going to start again, do it right this time, where we reflect God's glory to his creation. We are priests towards him, and we are kings towards his creation, looking after his creation here. And it's all, and heaven is going to come down to earth. It's going to come down to earth. He's going to reside and live with us forever. And it's that unity we're looking forward to. So, I hope God spoke to you. This is God's vision. And I need to get together with it. I need to be following his program, not my program. And I hope you will encourage me in that. And I want to encourage you also to think about what you say and think about what you do and think about what his vision is, and that together we invite the Holy Spirit to help us in that vision, because it's impossible to do in our own strength. Praise God. I'm done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are a God of unity. And the one thing we know for sure, Satan is a God of divisiveness. He's a being of divisiveness. He came into the garden and split Adam and Eve from God. He's divisive. He said, has God said? He's trying to throw doubt there in their heads. God, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit and help us to live according to your vision and not bring division. And when Satan would try and bring division amongst us, we would recognize it. So we can walk in step with you and with each other. We can walk in and sing in harmony with you and within each other. And we can play the same symphony, the same notes at the right time, according to you, how you conduct us. And so, Father, we thank you for doing this. And now as the stewards come forward, we'd ask, Father, that your blessing would be upon on this bread and on this wine. Lord, that as we take this bread, we would remember you dying on the cross. We see the incredible sacrifice you made for us, but also for the Father, because the Father wanted to bring everything into unity. It was all part of your plan. And so, Father, also we look to our neighbor, to our left and right, and say, Father, how can I help them? How can I serve them? How can I love them? How can I walk in unity with them? So as we take together from one loaf, we remember that we are in oneness with you and oneness with each other. And we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Stewards, would you come forward? Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks. And that's what we do today. We give thanks to our Father who sent Jesus. And we give thanks to Jesus. He didn't have to do this. And we would have been lost if he hadn't. And so Jesus, we thank you for your incredible sacrifice and for that broken body of yours on the cross. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just for your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for breaking your body for us. And now, Father, we ask that you would bless this grape juice, this wine, this cup of redemption. You redeemed us. You bought us back. You ransomed us. No one else could pay. No one else could pay the debt. But you paid the debt. And by your blood you've cleansed us. So that we are one blood with each other. We have the same blood type as each other. Because we are from the same stock. We're all blood type C. We're all blood type Jesus. We're all blood type Christ. So thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood, so that we can be one with each other,
but one with you, more importantly, and one with the Father. That we now have the same DNA, the same blood type as our Father. We are his, and he is ours. Thank you, in Jesus' name. As you take the cup, just wait, and everywhere we'll all drink together. Thank you. You don't need our help, Lord Jesus, but we thank you for sharing your vision with us so that we can participate in your wonderful plan. And as part of that plan is that you've cleansed us, you've redeemed us. And we look forward to the day when you're going to return and we're going to drink this together with you. The final cup, the cup of restoration, where everything is restored back to how it should be, the final cup. But Father, in the meantime, we give you thanks for this cup of redemption. We thank you in Jesus' name. To Jesus, our precious Jesus. Let's take it. Amen. God bless you. Do we have a closing song?
We do. Right, praise God. Would you come forward? Bless you.
Sing for joy at the work of your hands.
the greater I love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in. Shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy on the earth and the sands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we rely upon you so much. We'd ask that you would remind us of what you're trying to say to us during the next few days, the next few weeks, as we meet together, that you would remind us, Holy Spirit. You said you would be our teacher. Jesus said you would be our teacher. And so teach us about oneness. Oneness being one with the Father and with each other and working together with your vision. And so, Father, as we go our separate ways now, we ask that your blessings, all your blessings, your manifold blessings, your lavish blessings, your rich blessings would fall upon all of us. That your blessings would pursue us, would chase after us, would chase us down and would fall upon us. That when we walk into our house, we'll be blessed. When we walk out of our house, we'll be blessed. When we're with our friends, we'll be blessed. When we're on our own, we'll be blessed. In everything that our hand, everything we put our hand to, we'll be blessed. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings that fall upon us right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God.